wants to buy it, who's not a builder or developer, or got somebody who rehabs. We see a lot of couples who, husbands and wives, or boyfriends and girlfriends, who are now getting into the rehab and property acquisition business. It can be profitable, but there's a lot of risk. Because when you buy as is, where is, with all faults. And who knows what you're really going to get? Are we running out of time, Pat?
We're about running out of time, but a couple, another question. So when you went with the cashier's check, did you have to have a check? My understanding, you didn't have to have the entire amount, did you?
No, you only have to have 10%. Right. And I generally will go with about 10 or 15 cashier's checks in $10,000 or $5,000 increments. And if I don't end up as a successful bidder, then I simply take the checks and lock them in the office safe. And at the end of the month, I mail them back to the client and make sure I get a receipt because it's not my money.
Right.
So, but what's more important is that if you're the successful bidder at a sheriff's sale, you've got to put down 10% right there before you leave the room. And the sheriff's got to give you a receipt. And 14 days later, the sheriff gives your client a sheriff's deed, and you give the sheriff the rest of whatever you bid.
And what happens if, because there's no way that they have to, you have to qualify if you go to one of those, right? You just have to have your 10% cashier's check. What happens if somebody 14 days later can't come up with the rest of the money?
Then they forfeit their 10% deposit, and the property goes back up for auction the next week.
Okay. And I'm sure that what people do need to know is that this is, in fact, risky. There are a lot of people out there who are flipping houses, and certainly people have made money doing it, but there are a lot of other people. For example, if you know you have to put in a septic system, a $30,000 or $40,000 septic system, and you're not aware, what information, and then we do have to get going, but what information does someone get before they go to a sheriff's sale? Because I've had a lot of questions from, you're right, young people who think maybe they can make some money or get their first house this way.
Well, the first thing is to see if you can get inside and see what the interior condition is.
But can you? Are you have a right to do that?
You don't have a right to do that unless the property owner says, sure, come on in and walk around.
Yeah, well, but I can't imagine that most of them will.
No, and if the property's been boarded up, you don't want to start breaking and entering because that can be a crime. That is a crime. It's called criminal trespass or burglary, depending on what the problems are. So you don't want to do that. What you do want to do is drive past the house, and what you want to do is check the zoning, go to the local building construction code office, see what the permits are. And then you want to take a lot of pictures, and you might want to peek in the backyard, see what kind of a mess you have, and also...
But only if you can see it from the public street.
Yeah, exactly. You can only see what any other member of the public might see from the street. So it's a sophisticated business, easy to make mistakes.
Well, Bill, thank you very much, and we will be back after the news, and we'll... be back with the sports guys, and Bill is here, and hopefully John will be joining us. And they didn't leave us anything about commercials today, so we're going to be commercial free. So stay with us for the sports guys.
USA Radio News.
The U.S. economy surged in the second quarter to an annual growth rate of 4.1%. That's the fastest pace since 2014. Anthony Chan is the chief economist with Chase. He talks about what we can expect for the rest of the year.
It's not just one calendar quarter, but it's a multiple number of quarters that are going to be revised. That gives you a very good idea of where the economy is going to go, because the first quarter had been originally revised down. Now it's coming back. That will give you a little bit of a boost. It looks like this year we're going to come really, really close to about a 3% growth when all is said and done, if this trend continues.
Today, President Trump took to Twitter to blast his former attorney, Michael Cohen. Trump accused Cohen of lying about Mr. Trump's knowledge of a Trump Tower meeting between a Russian operative and his son, Donald Trump Jr. Trump also suggested that Hillary and Bill Clinton are pushing this smear campaign against him. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing health care costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin will meet with Brett Kavanaugh next week. This will be the first Democrat and so far the only Democrat who has said he will sit down and meet with Kavanaugh to hear some of his opinions and views on the issues of the day. Many Republicans are still wondering, though, if Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky is a yes vote on Kavanaugh. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham says we don't have to worry about Paul.
There is no way in hell that Rand Paul is going to be the deciding vote to stop Kavanaugh from going to the court. He's the most qualified person the president could have picked. He has an outstanding resume. He's been a judge for over a decade now. He's a conservative's conservative. He is a home run pick. There'll be more than a handful of Democrats voting for this guy because they'll lose their seat if they don't. And Rand Paul is not going to be the deciding vote. He might vote no if Democrats give him cover, but there's no way he's going to deny Kavanaugh's seat on the Supreme Court.
Your final numbers on Wall Street for the week. The Dow lost 74 points to close the week at 25,452. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need $100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
More on one of our top stories of the day, as today we found out that the GDP grew by a rate of 4.1% in the second quarter. The president, again, earlier outside the White House, commenting on the GDP.
We are fighting for loyal, hardworking, patriotic citizens of our blessed nation. We're making our country great again. We're respected again all over the world. Our military will soon be stronger than it's ever been by far. That in itself will produce thousands and thousands of jobs. Nobody makes equipment like we do. Nobody. Whether it's planes or missiles or any form of military equipment, we make the best in the world by far. We're making it possible for our allies to buy that equipment quickly, where they don't have to wait for two-year approvals and more. We're doing great. And I'm very honored to see that 4.1 number. Perhaps I'm even more honored to see that deficit shrink, the trade deficit shrink so much.
With the upcoming 2018 midterm elections, many people are wondering if Russia is going to try once again to influence our election. Well, Secretary of Defense James Mattis says, don't worry, we got everything covered.
Rest assured, there are actions underway to protect our elections or to expose any external efforts to influence the American public.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Friday afternoon. I'm Bill Wolfson. I'm pinch hitting for Pat Smith for a few moments, and let's talk about the weather. Right now, it's 86 degrees and sunny, some clouds, and this afternoon, they're telling us there's a 30% chance of severe thunderstorms. So, for those of you in a gambling mode, why don't you find someone to take that bet of and probably give them some good odds. Tonight, more severe thunderstorms, a 70% chance, and the low will be 68 degrees. Finally, the heat breaks a little bit. Saturday, there's a 20% or slight chance of thunderstorms and patchy fogs and a high of 85 degrees. Saturday night's going to be partially cloudy, and Sunday is going to be the best day in a long time. Mostly sunny with a high of 83. Sunday night, low 64, nice and comfortable. Open them windows, folks. It'll be nice. And Monday, we have a partially sunny day and 84 degrees. So I'm really glad the weather's getting better despite how we have had literally a week of rain except for most of today. It's time to talk some sports, but before we get to sports and the sports guys and everything else that is hopping here in Hunterdon, I thought what we would do is we would talk about some of our sponsors. So let's hit that money button and give everybody an idea of who loves us and takes care of us.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Good afternoon. I'm Bill Wolfson. I'm one of the sports guys, and I'm pinch hitting for a few moments for Patricia Garrity Smith, otherwise as we call her during football season, Packer Patty, and John, I love the Giants, Manfreda. I don't know why anybody likes the Giants, but there are Giants fans out there, and well, I wish you a good season. This is a season where we're going to see whether it was worthwhile keeping Eli Manning around, even though he's 37. He's got Odell Beckham to throw to, and he's got a tremendous young wide running back to hand the ball to, and Saquon Barkley. So it could be an exciting season for the Giants. They've also beefed up their offensive line. They've got some fullbacks that can really do some good blocking, both on pass and run blocking. So I think our Eagles have our work cut out for us. And as an Eagle fan, I can tell you all eyes are on Carson Wentz at the Eagles training camp. Wentz is wearing his knee brace. He's wearing a red number 11, so people know not to clobber him on a pads day. And if you want to see the Eagles practice, you can go down to NovaCare Center down in Philly. It's catty corner from the stadium, Lincoln Financial Field in South Philly, right on Patterson Avenue. And you can walk in, watch the practice, but no photographs once the teams start lining up and doing all kinds of other drills. So if you want to go, you're going to see an awful lot of individual units, such as linebackers, offensive linemen, wide receivers going through individual drills with coaches in different areas of the three practice fields. But getting the most attention, of course, was Carson Wentz to see if he could take a snap. And he looks like he was moving pretty good, according to what I've heard. There's no single position in football that gets as much attention and focus as quarterback. And between Wentz and Nick Foles, the Eagles are sitting pretty at the quarterback position. But, you know, things happen fast in football. Remember, three seasons ago, the Broncos and the Panthers played in a Super Bowl. The Bronx were 12-4 during the regular season, and the Panthers almost ran the table at 15-1. The Bronx had Peyton Manning's last gasp, not at his best, but still one of the best in the game. The Panthers had Cam Newton, who had a 99.4 quarterback rating to go with a 35 touchdown passes and only 10 interceptions. Look what happens in next year. Denver goes 9-7 with somebody named Trevor Siemian at quarterback, and Carolina saw Newton's rating drop to 75.8 with 19 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, and the Panthers went 6-10, and nobody went to the playoffs. So things can happen fast in football, and nobody really knows the right answer. That's why they play the game. The other thing that the Eagles are looking at are weak side linebackers. They're going to have a number of competitions. The slot cornerback role is also up for grabs, and many guys coming back from injury. And there's going to be a battle for the fourth or fifth running spot. And you got to be curious about what motivates a team after they've won a Super Bowl. Doug Peterson says not to worry about it. The goal is to win one after another, and to win another one, and then to win another one after that. However, we always have the problem during a post-Super Bowl letdown of knowing exactly where your team is going. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Fighting Phillies, since we're talking Philly sports. The Phillies were relatively quiet during the trading deadline. Michael Franco and Rhys Hopkins have suddenly gotten hot bats. They tied a franchise record last night by hitting 7 home runs and a 9-4 thumping of the Cincinnati Reds. Rhys Hopkins, Michael Franco, and Nick Williams each hit 2 home runs. Debac Suarez, a rookie who earned his first career victory as a Philly. Phillies have won 5 out of 7 since the All-Star break, and they've now boosted their division lead to 2.5 games. They've also hit 20 home runs during this time. So with the trade deadline coming up, the Phillies don't seem to think they need more hitters. I think you can never have too much pitching. But it's going to be interesting to see what manager Gabe Kapler and some of the other folks who are running the Phillies have to say about that. I think they may make a deal for yet another pitcher. I know they have talked about adding another hitter, and they've been interested in the Royals' third baseman, Mike Moustakas, and the Twins' outfielder, Eduardo Escobar. However, you never know. Meanwhile, we have the New York Yankees, who are not playing well. They've had a lot of injuries. They finally have kind of hit the skids, even though they have still are playing more than 600 ball. And last night, there was an injury to Aaron Judge, who injured his hand when he was hit by a pitch in the second, I believe the second inning it was. And what happened was he was taken out of the game, and he looked like he was going to be out for about 3 weeks. No surgery necessary, but he now has a bone chip in his hand. So Yankees are hitting that injury problem, and as the Red Sox did earlier in the year when the Yankees climbed up into first place. So we have a whole series. We have a very interesting pennant race. The Red Sox are getting out ahead of us more than I would like. So we're going to have to see where this all shakes out. It's been an exciting summer so far for a lot of teams, particularly the Phils and the Yanks. The important thing, I think, is that we just saw the Yankees add Zach Britton from the Baltimore Orioles, and has certainly made the best bullpen in Major League Baseball even better. So the Yankees are probably going to have another option with their bullpen. Are they going to start a game with a bullpen pitcher and then just keep it going and going and going and going with one bullpen pitcher after another? So because the Yankees have the best bullpen, but they don't have the best starting rotation, maybe they turn their bullpen into a starting rotation. Brian Cashman said at a press conference, they haven't talked about anything other than finding a way to get ourselves into the postseason and win the division title. So we haven't had any of those kinds of talks yet, but let's start them. The success of the Tampa Bay Rays, who beat the Yankees in a second straight series at Tampa Field earlier this week, put bullpenning in the front of a lot of people's minds because they threw one bullpen pitcher after another at the Yankees. The strategy, which they've relied on with some traditional starting pitchers, particularly Archer and Snell, and the now traded former Yankee Nathan Eovaldi, was to simply have a parade of relievers, each coming out as necessary, or everybody pitches one or two innings and goes and sits down and enjoys the game from a dugout. Two young starters that Tampa had, Jose De Leon and Brent Honeywell, went down in spring training with elbow problems and ended up getting Tommy John surgery. So rather than flood the starting rotation with a bunch of AAA guys, what the Rays did was decided to develop their younger, higher-ceiling guys cautiously and carefully so that they wouldn't have to go through the lineup a third time, and the Rays would use an opener, have a reliever go one inning, look at the top of the order, and then hand the ball to the next multi-inning guy. There have been some curiosities here with a guy named Ryan Stanek pitching and ranking third on the Rays with 14 starts, but just totaling 38 and two-thirds innings. And then Ryan Yarbrough gets 98 innings pitched, placing him second with just 5 starts. So awesome intellectually, and the Rays' 53-50 record after last winter's blow-up of the team I think is a tribute to their management and general manager's industriousness, resourcefulness, and creativity. The Rays general manager, Eric Neander, who cooked up this idea, doesn't declare this to be the new wave, but he said it was the right thing to do with the guys he got. They have a lot of young pitchers, and a lot of it was doing what we thought gave each individual pitcher, for different reasons, the best opportunity to have success at the big league level, without really demanding too much of them in the beginning. It worked for us. We try to get as much quantity of quality as you can. With one of his relievers, Chris Archer, he said, you're never going to get to be a 3 or 4 inning guy, but if you can get 7 from every turn out of him, but before you can get 7 innings, see if you can get 3 innings. And if you can do that, well, then you graduate. It's right for this group. They bought in, and their pitching staff has done a good job. So now let's look at the Yankees.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, I think we do, Pat. would it make more sense to pierce together 27 outs using Britton, Delene Betances, Chad Green, Jonathan Holder, Dave Robertson, Chase Shreven, and Adam Rearn. And then turn the ball over to that flaming fireballer, Aroldis Chapman. You might have to. That's what the Yankees did last year to win last year's American League wildcard game over the Twins. Four relievers combined to get 27 outs after a jittery Luis Severino made his Major League playoff debut by giving up three runs in the first inning. It was a great option to have. It wouldn't be my favorite option. I'd rather have a strong starting rotation that pitches deep into games, like six, seven innings, and then turn it over to fresh, usable, high-ceiling, high-leverage caliber bullpen guys. In Cashman's mind, that's the perfect recipe. But I know it doesn't always play out that way, and it's hard to keep everybody healthy. So, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And that's exactly what Tampa's done, and that's why they're 53-50 after being blown up. There is a tremendous interest here in the New York area to see how the Yankees are doing and how they're going to shake this out. Aaron Judge is injured. Gary Sanchez, the catcher, is not playing well. He's back on the disabled list after a problem with a hip. And we are interested in seeing how this shakes out. Meanwhile, the Red Sox just keep winning and winning and winning, and I think they're now about six up. The Yankees made a move for another starter. And that starter is the Toronto Blue Jays' J.A. Happ. Now, after weeks of wondering what was going to happen, Happ moved over to the Yankees. And the Yankees are going to send a very good rookie third baseman, Brandon Drury, and their 20th best prospect, Billy McKinney, to Toronto. Now, Happ is 35 years old. He was 10-6 so far with a 4.18 ERA, and he has not had good defense behind him in Toronto. Additionally, the advantage for the Yanks is that he's pitched very well against the Red Sox. On the other hand, in July he went 0-3 with a 7.41 earned run average in four starts. The Yankees were hoping to get a real top starter, like a number one or two guy, but that hasn't happened. So they added to their bullpen and now making the rotation a little deeper. Pat, any comment?
Well, can we get on to football? That would be my comment. Can we get on to some football after all of this blah, 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 blah about baseball?
Well,
especially, you know what's happening next week.
Well,
a week from Saturday is
don't we have the Hall of Fame game coming up?
It's the Hall of Fame induction, and it is Saturday, August 4th. And, of course, I'm really interested in it because one of the old-time Packers is going in. But the other thing that was pretty amazing to me, because I really didn't know much about him, is going in as a contributor, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Bobby Bethard. Is that how you pronounce it? B-E-A-T-H-A-R-D?
Pat, I just don't know.
And he was actually... he's going in as a contributor. He was involved for more than three decades, from 1966 to 1999. And, you know, he was an integral part of two Super Bowl teams. Now, do you know which ones?
Nope, I don't have a clue.
He was the director of player personnel, for the Dolphins, and he was named that in 1972, and then he went on to become the Redskins' general manager in 1978, but that meant he was with the Dolphins when they went to two Super Bowls. And one of the things that I think was interesting that I read about him is he often dealt first-round draft picks to acquire more talent. You know how often... You know, everybody's trying to get that first-round draft pick. Apparently, he was, you know, just masterful. And when he went to Washington to build Super Bowl champions, and apparently he used the team's first-round draft picks just three times in 11 seasons. I mean, that's a pretty amazing statistic.
No doubt it is, Pat.
And, in fact, apparently the Redskins Super Bowl roster in for Super Bowl 17 included 27 free agents that he had signed. 27 free agents.
And they all managed to make the team.
Well, they made, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's exciting.
And in fact,
and what year was that?
I'm not that was, what was Super Bowl 17? I don't remember what year that was.
Long time ago.
Yes. But he, the Redskins made 5 playoff appearances in 6 seasons, including the 2 Super Bowl titles in Super Bowl 17 and Super Bowl 22. But, I mean, here is somebody who really went against what everybody thinks they need, all these first-round picks, but 27 free agents he had signed. And so look how important that is, because as we know, my team, the Packers, you know, usually don't sign many free agents. They really don't. And so what he did, he also instantly created a winning culture in San Diego after the Chargers named him their general manager in 1990.
Well, so, Pat, we're coming up on the optional news and weather, and I think we should skip the news because it's always fun to talk about football. But let's give our audience
did
a little
shot about... Did you talk about the weather earlier?
We always talk about the weather, Pat. I promise you I would never not talk about the
weather.
Well,
I have to tell you, as I said earlier on my prior program, today the weather has just been unbelievable. Did you get the terrible thunderstorms at your office earlier this afternoon?
We sure did. We got them right around noon, and I will tell you.
For how long?
I would say 15 minutes.
Well, I was in Pottersville, and it was a huge storm for well over half an hour. And then I stopped at home, and Dave said we had our deck was dry. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It didn't even look like it had rained. And he said, eh, maybe that it was a couple minutes, and everything had already dried out. So what I'm saying is, let's say we can't predict the weather in Hunterdon County, because depending on where you are, it's really very completely different.
Well, we're getting a lot of small storm cells that kind of blow through. You might get a torrent of rain for 10 minutes, and then the sun's out, and then another... And it drizzles for a little while, and then the sun's out for 2 hours, and then you get another downpour where it's raining cats and dogs. What I will tell you, Pat, is I think it's going to be an absolutely great year for growing mosquitoes.
But I think
it's
you're
hot,
right.
And it's wet, and it's humid.
And the other thing is it's very easy to walk around and find, you know, standing water. You left a pot, you left something, and all of a sudden it's full of water, and it's full of scum, and it's full of mosquitoes that are breeding. Because one of the things that always amazed me, coming from the Midwest, where we had mosquitoes as big as rats, at least you thought so. Out here, when we moved to Hunterdon County, we rarely had mosquitoes.
Well,
where we live high, and
understood.
We have a lot of bats.
Yeah, and that's probably because it was a little drier. Let's talk about the weather now that we've talked about the weather. This afternoon, they're promising severe thunderstorms. There's a 30% chance. I'm sure some of us have already gotten hit with them, like Pat over there and me here. The high is 88. Tonight, it's going to go down to 68, but again, a 70% chance of severe thunderstorms. If you're betting, I think you ought to take the laundry in. Saturday, a slight chance of thunderstorms and some patchy fog. Saturday night, partially cloudy. Good night to be out in 64 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 83, and I'm going to my boat and doing some sailing. And Sunday night, partially cloudy with a low of 64. And Monday, we all go back to work, partially sunny and a beautiful 84 degrees. So now that we've talked about the weather, let's talk about the football team. It always puts the fun in dysfunctional. My favorite, New York Jets.
Well, we're going to be playing them, meaning the Packers are going to be playing them in December. If memory serves me, it's about December 23rd.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't know whether that's going to be a 1 o'clock game or a 4 o'clock game. I'm kind of hoping it's a 1 o'clock game because I think by that time the Jets will probably be out of contention, and a lot of fans won't go. But it's always a chance to see a great team like the Green Bay Packers, and hopefully Aaron Rodgers will manage not to get hurt. And I wouldn't buying some nosebleed seats for that game. What do you think?
Well, you know, my only problem is, you know, if it was January, it'd be fine. But 2 days before Christmas for many of us is just really tough. And, of course, Dave doesn't like to go to cold games anymore. We're hoping that we know somebody who might have some box seats. And, you know, believe me, if you do, you give me a call. Because, yes, I would like to see it. And even if I have to delay Christmas by a day, the game I would really like to see this year, though, is Packers against the Patriots. And that's going to be an impossible ticket.
I would think. When is that game back?
I'm not sure, but it's earlier.
Is that
November.
October?
October or November. It might be November.
And
but
is that
early
in Green
enough.
Bay or in New
no,
England?
No, no, it's out here.
In New England.
Yeah, in fact, the Packers have a terrible at-home season. Either they're playing really early or they're playing very late. In other words, Minnesota, they have a very early game in September, but that's in Minnesota. And then their late game in December sometime at home. And I think I've said before, they're also traveling. And we'll have to talk about the Rams coach, but they're traveling. 1 week they play out in L.A., the Rams, and then the next week they play in the Patriots. That's tough. That's a really, you know, you're in the middle of the country, you have to fly to California, and then, you know, fly back for a couple of days and then come to the East Coast. That's really tough. But at some point, and we'd have to have John here because we'd have to talk about this coach, this phenomenal coach, you know, L.A. coach. I mean, he's really, you know, young. Isn't he the youngest coach ever?
I thought so. I did not really prepare to talk about
okay,
that today.
Okay, well, we won't talk about him today.
Wait for John, but let's talk about the New York Jets and the latest problem. As you know, the Jets have a three-way quarterback controversy. Is it going to be the new guy, Sam Darnold? Is it going to be the old guy, Josh McCown? Or the banged up but back in action guy, Teddy Bridgewater, who used to be one of your hated Minnesota Vikings? Now, when the Jets showed up for training camp yesterday, there was one notable absence. Rookie quarterback Sam Darnold was not with the Jets, as he and the team have not yet reached a contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah, still time to sign him before the Jets take the field for their first practice Friday afternoon.
So what's his position? What's the held up there, do you know?
Well, here's the deal. He was picked number 3 overall in April. He's one of the 2 draft picks in the NFL who have not signed, and the other is Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, the number 8 overall pick. It's rare for rookies to miss time in contract situations under the current collective bargaining agreement. The money's slotted and fully guaranteed now, but the Jets and Darnold are fighting over language in the contract. Teams like to have offsets. Players don't. An offset protects a team if a player gets cut. Now they don't, and signs with another team, they can deduct the player's new salary from what they owe him.
So what is, and why isn't that considered fair?
Well, I think it is fair. The contract, if the contract doesn't contain offsets, players can double dip, meaning they can collect the full amount their old team owes them, as well as what the new team pays them. So if Darnold signs, he gets, and are you sitting down for this? $30.6 million over 4 years with
wow.
A $20 million signing bonus. All
so he gets a $20 million signing bonus even if he doesn't play?
That's right. And all first-round picks have a team first-year, fifth-year option attached to their contract. So besides offsets, teams and rookies also haggle out over how their signing bonus is paid out. So if Darnold misses time, which could hurt him in the competition to be the starter when the Jets kick off against the Lions on September 10, Darnold's expected to challenge Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater for the big job. The competition's going to be the main storyline, and it was really a lot that the players were talking about when they showed up to report it on Thursday.
Well, in fact, it seems to me that unlike perhaps some other players who don't have that competition for the quarterback spot, he would be more reluctant to take that position that he's taken and not signing, especially if you know, there may be some other things in the contract, but certainly that kind of an offset, you know, if they cut him and he's with another team, that doesn't make much sense to me.
No, it doesn't either. I mean, I would probably live with the offset because the money is just so huge. And if they cut you, and let's say you go to the Chicago Bears and they don't pay you quite as much, well, the Jets still owe you the rest
right.
of the money.
Right, so you're going to get your money no matter what.
So where's the loss? Where's the hurt?
And, you know, he has the risk of, you know, Jet fans are kind of like Philadelphia fans. You want to be liked by them. When you walk in and you want to be someone that, you know, they really like, and that could really turn off a number of fans because they're going to think he's paid a pig.
No doubt about it. Jets fans have not had a Super Bowl since 1969 when they beat the Chiefs. And the Jets have a fan base that is very loyal but extremely frustrated and really looking for this team to start delivering. They got a little bit of a tease, Mark Sanchez's first 2 years when the Jets went 10-6, but fizzled. And since then, the Jets have struggled because they just can't seem to find a good quarterback.
And Bridgewater's going to be really working hard to, you know, make that team.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Remember, Josh McCown gave them a winning record last year, even though he's certainly a journeyman quarterback. He's shown that he's better than everybody thought.
And they got some pretty good guys in the draft, didn't they?
They sure did. And remember, the Jets have surrounded McCown last year with some pretty good blocking and a decent running game. Where the Jets really need to tighten it up, I think, is in the defensive backfield, and they really need a couple of possession-type receivers with blinding speed. So what I'm hoping is that the New York Jets can find their way to get this contract problem with Sam Darnold out of their way. One of the things I should tell you, I just got an email that the eclipse of the century is going to be sometime today. We're going to see the Earth, the Sun, and Mars all lined up in a straight line with the Earth in the middle. And tonight, if you look in the eastern sky, Mars will be one of the brightest red objects around. Hmm. So hopefully it won't be cloudy and we'll be able to get to see this. So.
Yeah, well, we're lucky if we're going to not have a thunderstorm tonight. And, in fact, isn't that the prediction that we're going to have a storm tonight?
Well, they're talking a 70% chance of severe thunderstorms.
Yep, well,
so let's get our heads out of the clouds and back to sports.
Yeah, don't think we'll see that tonight. But
So, Pat, let me ask you a question. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers had a season last year where he was really banged up. What's the talk out of Green Bay about his physical condition as training camps open?
They're always talking that, you know, he's back, he's going to be fine, blah, 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 blah. They have all these new people that they think will be able to protect him. We'll see. But right now, most of the chatter is about Jerry Kramer going into the Hall of Fame, and it's about time.
Well, no doubt it's about time that he'd be honored because he was a Packer great and an all-around great guy in the Lombardi years. But my question for you, Pat, is coming back to Aaron Rodgers, who's he going to throw to and who's he going to hand the ball to?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. I don't think we're going to know until we see what the final roster is. You know, I was not happy with some of the people that the Packers have let go in the past few years. I just, you know, but who knows? I mean, number one, they have to protect him. I mean, that's, I think that that's one of the, that they just have to protect him. I mean, you know, the, I think that Mike Daniels is expected to, you know, defensive tackle. He's, of course, expected to do some good work. You know, Clay Matthews, I don't think he's been as good as he could have been. I'm looking forward to seeing what Ha Ha Clinton-Dix is going to be able to do. But, you know, we don't know. I mean, the even with his injury last year, you know, Aaron Rodgers was number six of the top 100 players. So, and I think that's a prediction. And I always get this wrong. Is the top 100 players are supposed to be who they consider the top 100 this last season, correct? Not who they expect are going to be the top.
I don't know the answer, Pat.
No, I think that, if I'm right, I think it's who the person is with, the team they're with this year is the name, because there was somebody who is on the top 100 who's now a Packer. I think his name is Graham, if I'm right. And he wasn't a Packer last year, but he got on the top 100 as a Packer, although this will be his first season to play.
Pat, we have to take a commercial break here.
We don't have any commercials today.
Oh, why is that? I just played a bunch of them.
You did? Well, I don't know what you're playing, but they're from last week.
Well, it was deja vu all over again, because I sure played a bunch of them and had a good old time doing it. So let's keep on keeping on here.
Yeah, if you look at the list, they forgot to give us a list. That's a list from yesterday. I played some of them, but we don't have a Friday list. So.
And you know what? I don't mind. I want to take good care of our sponsors.
Well, that may be, but since we don't know who they are... guess what, guys? It's not our fault. It's the administration here. So, we have the list from yesterday.
Okay, no problem. They sure sounded like the same sponsors we always have,
I
Pat.
I guess they are.
And they probably indeed are. So, what else is happening? Are you getting much swimming in, Pat?
No, not with all this rain.
It's pretty tough. You know, I went for a swim indoors over at HealthQuest the other night, and I have to tell you, it was... a pleasure. I like indoor pools. Not as much as I do outdoor pools or swimming in the ocean or a nice lake. But, you know, you get a lane all to yourself and you can just swim along and occasionally change from an Australian crawl to a backstroke or a butterfly.
There's too much chlorine in them as far as I'm concerned.
You know, that doesn't bother me. I wear those goggles over my eyes, and what I find is it doesn't really create a problem. The other thing sometimes I'll do, because as you know, I'm a devoted snorkeler, I put on my mask, my flippers, and my snorkel. And I just go back and forth practicing technique, because if you ever have to snorkel in current in the ocean, you know when to rest and when to drift and when to work.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because when I was down in Key West in the spring and getting some snorkeling things for my granddaughter, and I decided to buy a new mask and a snorkel to use in the pool, I realize it's the lazy person's way of swimming, but it also makes it a little easier to, you know, go that 40 feet when, you know, I'm surprised at how much strength I've lost when I swim. I mean, that is sometime, and I really do notice it. So I have to work myself, you know, up to, you know, swimming laps. I don't know about you, but... that's one of the things that I've noticed, because, frankly, I haven't been swimming much in the last few years.
Well, the other thing I like about swimming is, especially swimming laps, you don't sweat.
Well, that's true. That's true. You don't.
You're surrounded by beautiful, comfortable water, and it's refreshing. It's really pleasant. I always like swimming in the ocean. I especially like snorkeling on coral reefs.
Oh, snorkeling on coral reefs, especially if there are a lot of fish. You know, in fact, I think even though I was a longtime scuba diver, I tell my insurance company I don't scuba dive anymore. The snorkeling... and especially in places like, and it's been many, many years since I've snorkeled in a place like Tulum, but, you know, you didn't have to, and Hawaii, I mean, you really didn't have to go deep. You could snorkel in a few of those places. The snorkeling is probably more fun than the scuba diving, and especially with the fish place like Hawaii.
If you get to a coral reef that's only about 10 feet below the water, and there are clouds of fish swimming there, you can really see wonderful things. And you always get the illusion that you're flying, I always like. I know that I'm not. But, you know, there can be some problems. First of all, you should never touch coral and you should never touch the fish because your body temperature is so high that you can actually give the fish a burn. Second thing is many fish are covered with a kind of a slime or a mucus that protects them from bacteria, and they don't have the immunities that we have from all sorts of bacteria. So they could get anything from the flu to chicken pox, and that can go all the way through a fish population. So I try not to touch anything. In fact, I wear gloves when I snorkel. And I'm going to be snorkeling on a reef. I find the gloves help me swim a little better, too, because they're a little webbed. The other thing is that I learned, and I kind of learned it the hard way, every 3 minutes I do a 360 spin in the water because I don't want anything following me that might eat me. As tasty as I must be.
And you're absolutely right about the coral. I recall swimming, again, many years ago off the coast of a jungle in Mexico. At that point, it was a jungle. Now it's now it's close to Cancun. But some of the coral was so close to the surface that it would actually scratch you. In other words, it was just inches below the surface, you really couldn't even swim over it, or you'd come back scratched, and those hurt. I mean, they really hurt. If you get,
well, those scratches are very painful. Plus, they get infected easily when you're in salt water.
Right. Well, they are very painful, and I didn't really know that about the fish, because I feed the fish when I snorkel.
But oh, that's fun, isn't it?
But you know what I feed them?
Nope.
Frozen peas.
Yes, I noticed that too. Fish seem to like frozen peas and frozen wasabi peas for some reason.
Well, I don't know about this wasabi, but we always buy, and of course, if you can buy them in the plastic bag, that's even better. And by the time you take them out, I mean, it's almost scary at times when I've been feeding the fish because there's so many that they're really... You may not be trying to touch them, but they're touching you. But don't ever feed them bread. I mean, it's all over in the water. You don't feed fish bread just because of what happens and the way it's in the water.
Oh, it becomes a mess, and the fish go crazy chasing. It's the same thing with swans and geese and ducks. They just love bread.
Well, that's different. They're on land, and it's not going to get all mushy.
Or sometimes you feed them in the water, but sometimes there's a problem when you put things in the water that the birds don't eat. They can get sucked up into a boat's engine because a lot of boats are raw water cooled, and they use seawater for cooling the diesel engine. But in the marina where we keep our boat, there are two swans that I call George and Gracie, and they have a cygnet, a baby swan that...
Really?
That's swimming around there with them.
Do they have one every year, or is this the first year?
This is the second year that they've actually had a baby. And what's interesting is there are an awful lot of ducks and ducklings this year, which means that there aren't a lot of snapping turtles around because, snapping turtles regard these little birds as prey, and they will pull them under, drown them, and then eat them. So we have these swans that come over to the boat, and they're usually begging for food because if they see you at the stern of the boat, they figure you're there to feed them. So they might as well show up and get fed.
So now where do they lay their eggs?
They go over to some of the marshes. There's a large marsh right that shelters the marina where we are, Ocean Gate Yacht Basin, from the Barnegat Bay and the Toms River. And that marsh is just filled with ospreys and cranes and herons that are there to look for the small frogs or tadpoles or small fish or crabs. But these swans are beautiful birds, but they're also can be extremely aggressive when they think they're being denied the snack that they know you drove 60 miles to give them.
Well, the problem, and I have perhaps a little different view of feeding wild animals. I do not believe we should feed wild animals. Now, I do feed the birds. I recognize that, but I only feed them in the winter when they really have to be fed. Now, hummingbirds I feed in the summer. But most of the animals, I don't think that we're doing them any favors by feeding them.
Certainly not. Remember, animals have stomachs and digestive systems that are designed for what nature provides for them. And for us to give a squirrel a piece of white bread, let's say, or piece of candy, there are a lot of animals.
Oh, but even if you feed, I don't feed the squirrels because they just, I've spent the last number of years trying to figure out how to keep the squirrels out of the bird feeders.
Well, squirrels are brilliant at figuring out how to get into bird feeders.
Oh, they
because
are.
They love seeds. My wife was struck up a friendship with a squirrel that she named Pookie.
Yeah, we've actually had a conversation about that, and I can't believe it because, I was thinking of going home and trapping all my squirrels and bringing them down for Barbara since she loves the squirrels so much.
Well, if you did that, each of those squirrels would probably die of overeating in a couple of years. They would be the world's only obese squirrels. They would probably have the squirrel equivalent of diabetes and every other morbidity if my wife was allowed to have her own way, because she really does love animals.
Well, I do too, but again, we have fox and we have some kits. I haven't seen any kits this year. But again, even the fawns, we will not feed them, even if their mother has died. And it breaks my heart to see all these little fawns with all the mothers that are killed on the road. But we're not doing them any favor, because if they get used to us, then they're going to walk up to other people who are hunters. So anyway, I don't know where the sports program with the sports guys started talking about squirrels and swans and other things, but...
Well, it's getting squirrely in here, so let's move on. I enjoyed talking about coral reefs and diving, but I'll tell you...
Well, diving is a real, sport. I mean, that's something that I did for many, many, many years. And, of course, in the Caribbean, it was just so great to dive in the Caribbean.
There's no kidding. I've gone diving off of... The Caymans, and also off of Tortolan, the British Virgins, and off of the U.S. Virgin Islands off of St. John's, and it is wonderful. You see amazing things, but the sad thing is that sometimes you see coral that's died, and the reef that's died is the acidity in the water.
There's a real problem with the loss of coral reefs all over the world.
Is that true? Is that because it's getting to global warming and things are getting too hot?
I don't know the reasons, but I know that it's like everything else. It's a serious problem with the change in climate, and I frankly don't know why the problems with coral reefs, but I do know that that's a concern.
Well, I can tell you that it is very spooky to be snorkeling or scuba diving. Scuba diving is we did in the British Virgins. And apparently the company that took us out there and let us use the equipment after we qualified, my wife and I, didn't tell us, but they had trained this huge grouper that was about 8 feet across to follow you around and eat peas or beg you for peas. And if you didn't feed him fast enough, he would come up behind you and bump you. And getting bumped while you are 20 feet underwater wearing scuba gear and turning around and seeing a fish looking at you with its mouth open is not a happy feeling.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark.
Well, I've had that experience too, Bat. And I'll tell you the story in the 2 minutes we have left. Actually, the 1 minute we have left, so I better talk fast. We were in the Tobago Keys in the Grenadines, a beautiful place. It's a national park in St. Vincent. And the Grenadines, a small island nation in the Caribbean. And I went down to check the anchor wearing my snorkel gear, and 30 feet down, the anchor's dug in real nice. And I look up, and a shark is looking at me. And I pulled myself up along that anchor line and went to the back of the boat and jumped up, and I have to tell you, my heart was pounding in my chest. I don't think I've ever had that much cardiorespiratory stress since, but whoa, is that scary.
Well, either the shark was full or else you just didn't look like his type of food. Either way, you were very lucky.
I like to think of it as professional courtesy, Pat. And since it's 6 o'clock, let me wish everybody a great weekend. Get up off that couch. The weather's finally going to break, and we might actually get a couple of non-rainy hours.
Well, and supposedly on Sunday, Balloon Festival, last day, and should be a nice day for the Balloon Festival. So, you know, and if you're driving in that area, be careful because there are lots of people who pull over to watch it. But we'll be out there probably around 6 o'clock in the morning with my little granddaughter who is a photographer,